Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. You guys know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA underscore QB1. Also on Instagram, ALPA underscore QB1. Then Facebook, a little pocket awareness. You guys already know to go there, right? On Facebook. And then follow me and Chris on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL and at King Manelos for Chris. And of course, make sure you guys hit the subscribe button on iTunes and download on Spotify and wherever you can find podcasts. Chris, so we had an ugly football game yesterday.
Oh my God, that is an understatement. An absolute understatement.
Very ugly. But you know, these guys are, you know, they're trying out here. Look, a couple older quarterbacks. had a conversation with a guy on Twitter about, man, it's not looking that good. Tom Brady's mad. Tom Brady's angry at the quarterback play too.
Yeah, he said it's sloppy
football. Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say these guys can't throw. They can't read a defense out here.
They can't, dude.
They can't even read too high like me.
Dude, it's out of control. Like, there's been a progressive downward trend in quarterback play over the course of the last 5 years. Yeah, and when you get guys like Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, when all those guys retire and you look at what's left, like it's literally three guys with like maybe another three trying to get to that level.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is awful.
Yeah, it's a lot of average quarterback play this year for sure. A lot of average quarterback play. Because there's really not a lot of elite guys out there, you know?
There is not.
There isn't. So, they try to put some of these young guys as elite, and we're never seeing they're not. I mean, CJ Bro still, he's good. He's not elite yet. You see Herbert, he's good. He's not elite yet. You're seeing those things, you know, from a lot of those quarterbacks are just not there yet. They might get there. You know, Herbert might get there. So I'm like, Burrow, you know, they have a chance. But, they got to get there first. Mm-hmm. And they haven't. And I think there's a lot of expectations just because there's so many young guys. It's like fans love young quarterbacks, man. That's why somebody talks to me about Derek Carr, they always bring up year nine. Like, I don't understand. Like, okay. He's in year nine. He shouldn't be doing these. Like, okay. I mean, okay. I don't understand. but it's like there's a cap on a quarterback. Like, he gets to year five. And that's really their prime to me. I mean, they usually tick off after year five. I mean, mm-hmm. really, really good. Even if they're decent, you know, we're even seeing Jared Goff. This happened to Jared Goff. I mean, he's on the Lions now. But, he looks like he's a good 29-year-old, 30-year-old quarterback.
That that offense is the first in the league in points scored.
Yeah, you know,
dude's putting it together. But then he also makes the occasional dumb decision with that pick six against Seattle right as you come out of halftime.
Yeah.
Dude's digging holes and then trying to fill them.
Yeah. You can't do that with your defense that just gives up random points to – everybody.
Everybody.
You got Geno Smith, the greatest quarterback of all time. After picking them apart.
His numbers are ridiculous. I can't believe his numbers are so good.
His numbers are nuts. He's balling.
He is. I think it's because all the other team's defenses are like, we don't need to do anything. It's Geno.
Oh, man, bro. You should see this cover zero that the Lions were playing against him. I mean, it was like disrespectful.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
First of all, with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, you're running cover zero with that speed out there. That's disrespectful. I'm sorry. They were showing him no respect, and he's proving that you should probably show him a little bit of respect. That's basically what he's proving. Okay.
Well, he's still capable. I mean, when he came out in the draft, like, he was drafted high for a reason. The dude is still athletic. If he beats a blitz and you're in cover zero and he slides in the pocket, there's nobody out there and he gets to just jog for 15 yards.
Yeah.
And that's what he did to him. That's exactly what he did to him.
Man, He had to throw to Tyler Lockett against Cover Zero, and I was like, why would you do that, Lions? Like, you're playing against Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf still. He could still pass. It's not like he's not like Mr. Trubisky or anything like that. He could still throw the ball against Cover Zero with Tyler Lockett. I mean, I would just – that's what he did. He just faded back. He's like, okay. He got popped, but Tyler Lockett's about to be open, you know?
Yeah. That's a nice little transition point right there. We got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. We got to give them some credit for those W's that they had in Seattle with Russ, because it was never just about Russ cooking.
Yeah.
Apparently. Because he doesn't – did you see he still tried to do Broncos country let's ride out of his press conference last night?
Yes.
What?
It's his new Go Hawks.
It is – absolutely insane. He's getting exposed, dude. Like,
but
dude, Chris,
we talked about this from both sides. We talked about this on the football side and his narcissist side, which is when he originally wanted to be traded, right? Like 2 years ago, and he's talking about, I'm Drew Brees, I'm a Hall of Famer, I'm Peyton Manning, I'm Drew Brees, da 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 da. I'm like, man, no, you're not. I mean, you can still get in the hall, but you aren't those guys. You just have to realize who you are. You're not Drew Brees. You're not Mr. Because that's what I feel like he's trying to do this year. He's trying to be Drew Brees. He's trying to pick people apart. He's throwing in the middle of the field a lot. Like, you know.
That last play.
I still think he didn't see KJ Hamler. I think he struggled.
He never looked to the right. He stuck on Cortland Sutton.
See, I don't know.
The whole way. He rode Sutton the whole way.
I want to see that from the end zone view.
Entire route.
I want to see it from the end zone view one more time. Because I swear he's trying to see KJ, and I don't think he can see him. Because he's small, too.
Like, can't see him,
Because KJ Hamler's 5'9", too.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. He broke free outside of the tackle. Like, there was definitely his head was to the left the whole time. I don't think he ever considered going to that other side of the field. I think that he pre-read that as Sutton's getting the ball, and he watched him the whole way. And that corner, who was on him? Was it Kenny? It was Gilmore. Gilmore was on Sutton.
Yeah,
dude, he had him just blanketed the entire route, and Russ just waited and waited and waited and waited, and then finally threw the ball in the middle of the field. And by the time he threw it, he saw KJ sitting there wide open, and it was like, oh no. It was bad. Russ cannot cook in the West Coast offense like you, sir, had predicted.
Well, yeah, I knew he was gonna struggle in this offense. I mean, he's just not set up for this type of offense. I mean,
if you've been listening to us, you know, because Marcus brought this up on multiple occasions in the offseason. He brought it up before we did his 32-1, and then while we discussed his 32-1, when we were talking specifically about Russell Wilson, the conversation was about this scheme change from what they were running in Seattle to the West Coast offense they're running now, or what version of the West Coast offense they're running now in Denver. Marcus predicted this struggle.
Yeah. I knew he was gonna struggle. I knew it. He's a deep thrower. That's what he is. He's a step back and throw it deep.
He is the older version of Kyler Murray. Run around, wait for your DK Metcalf or your Tyler Lockett to get open down the field and just chuck it up.
Mm-hmm. And he's probably one of the greatest, best deep ball throwers ever. I mean, he throws the ball 50 feet in the air and it lands right to you. And I mean, yeah,
he hit Tyler Lockett in stride way too many times.
All the time. He hit Lockett, were like, they were on point. No, Lockett's the only teammate that likes him. He's the only guy.
Yeah, because his numbers were phenomenal.
He's the only one who used to work out with them.
He knew he was gonna get paid. He knew he was gonna get paid catching those deep balls.
He's like, this is how I make a living, man. I don't care. I'll be out there working out trying to get that timing because Russell used to just hit that back foot, just throw it up, and you see Lockett just run under it, boom, right in stride. And I mean, that's his game. And I mean, they're not doing that in Denver. They're trying to do the West Coast offense. They're like trying mm-hmm. to And he's, I feel like he wants
15 to 20 yards.
That too. That's the thing. That's what I think the problem is, that he wants to try to be Mr. Move the ball quarterback, you know, play in the pocket, you know, throw over the middle of the field. Because I guess the Raiders, bro, you know, he threw over the middle of the field a lot, more than I've ever seen him try to, which means that he's probably telling Nathaniel Hackett, because Hackett even threw him under the bus after the game and said that was a play that he liked. That he talked about the other game, it was a play that he liked. Mm-hmm. It was the play that he liked, right, to win the game. So obviously, you know, Russell Wilson has some kind of control of the offense. He probably tell him, like, I want to throw over the middle of the field. You know, they tried not to let me. I think I could do it. And we're seeing that he can't. You can't throw the middle of the field, dog. You're short. Russell, all the guys, I mean, you used to know that. Maybe you're offended that Pete just never got a guy who wanted to throw over the middle of the field for you. Maybe you're just mad about that, and that was the argument.
Well, you know what's funny? You know what's hysterical? In the Lions game against Seattle, I saw DK Metcalf run more 15-yard digs than I've ever seen him run in Seattle with Russ at the quarterback position.
I know.
Like, I've accused DK of being a hitch-and-go guy for his entire career. Mm-hmm. And then about year three, he developed the curl route, you know, just a deeper version of the hitch.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's running dig routes and catching the ball across the middle of the field. I don't know where that came from. Maybe he had that in his repertoire and we just never saw it because Russ couldn't throw it. So maybe I gotta come back and give DK some more props. And I definitely gotta come back and give Tyler Lockett some more props.
I know.
Because these guys are still thriving.
Yeah, Geno Smith's like, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for leaving with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what? You know what I mean?
Russ, maybe he wasn't those walking 10 wins. Maybe it was DK and Tyler Lockett that made him the walking 10.
I know, and there's nowhere too high for Geno either. So I'm saying Geno getting cover zero over there. DK Metcalf in dig routes versus cover zero.
The disrespect for Geno is legit. I still have the disrespect for Geno. Like,
I know.
He's putting up these numbers. I'm just waiting for it all to, like, come crashing down.
Yeah, I don't know if it ever come like crashing down, but I think he's talking a little too much. I think he needs to relax. He's like he's taking a victory lap.
Yeah, he's trying to tell you, I'm, you know, you don't need to beat me up in a locker room. I'm pretty good.
Something like, I don't know what he's, but let's finish the season, bro. Let's play a whole season and then like talk how spicy you're talking, because he was talking a little spicy at the press conference the other day. Somebody asked him a question. And I mean, bro, I get it, man. You're on a good stretch. It's a great stretch of play. But you know, let's put a whole season together before we crowd ourselves. But yeah, back to Russ. You know, I think, like I said, he's not in the system that fits him. He's trying to play the type of quarterback that he's not. You're not Drew Brees. You know what I'm saying? You know, Drew Brees was accurate on his tippy toes. I still cannot figure that out. Every time I've learned more about quarterback.
Just watching what Drew Brees did, if you ever go back to the tape, it is just mind-numbingly incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And he did it all after he went through major shoulder surgery.
I know.
The reason that he was in New Orleans is because San Diego gave him up because of his shoulder surgery.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets that part of his career.
Yeah.
Like, everybody thought he was going to be Chad Pettington after the surgery. Noodle arm. And he didn't go noodle until his 40s.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he figured it out being short, man.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he figured it out. And became
Tippy toes, chin straight up in the air. Like, he was – I can't even imagine trying to play the position the way that he did it. It's so incredibly difficult to do it. When you're 6'8", like, ask Brock Osweiler how hard it is to play quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dude was, what is he, 6'6", 6'8"?
Yeah.
he almost had a foot on Drew Brees. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. Like, we lived through an era of quarterback play that probably will never be seen again.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know, man. Maybe these young guys take. I just said they just got to get older. They're just young right now. You know what I mean? You can't expect.
They're definitely young.
Yeah, you can't even Trevor Lawrence, what, 22?
What do you expect him to be? I mean, and then he's on a team like the Jaguars where the Jaguars are leading the division in the AFC South.
I know. You got a chance to get a good defense, man.
They got a great front seven. Well, I don't know if I can go as far as saying front seven. Yeah. They got a great front four.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for good front fours. Just ask me about how I feel about the Commanders.
Commanders. Oh yeah.
I'm finally off.
Yeah, you're off the Commanders finally.
I'm officially off.
Oh, so should we talk about Matt Ryan a little bit? I guess you're talking about Matt Ryan.
We do need to bring up the fact that Matt Ryan should have retired instead of going to Indy.
Yeah.
I cannot believe how bad his play has been.
Oh man, he's been terrible.
Do you think he just doesn't have like
the division for some reason? Like he why do I feel like he's gonna get hot for some reason? He's gonna get that old man hot streak. It's coming.
I know.
That's what it is.
I don't think he had any chemistry with anybody built up in the offseason because Pittman and Pierce were both struggling with injuries.
Yeah.
Like he's just starting to figure it out with his young tight end. He doesn't have Jonathan Taylor like half the time in the backfield. I think he just doesn't – he hasn't had the time with his guys to actually feel comfortable and to get into a rhythm.
Yeah.
I think that has more to do with his poor play than his decision making.
Yeah,
I just don't think they're in sync, even in the slightest. Yeah, that entire team.
Yeah, I mean, not offensively. And the O line's playing terrible. They usually have a good O line. They're not playing well.
They're playing way below par. I think it has to do with the fact that they don't have like an actual left tackle.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big problem for them. But I don't know. It's just weird. just like the when he just started throwing at Alec Pierce only, he started moving football. So it's like maybe he's figured it out. And you know Matt Ryan does not have a problem with just throwing to one guy.
So, oh no.
Yep. You know?
And, ask Tony Gonzalez, ask Julio Jones.
Roddy White.
Ask Roddy White. Oh man, how could I forget about Roddy White?
You know, so he doesn't have a problem with that. So I don't know. That division just like so weak. They can't beat the Titans though. The Colts can't beat the Titans. And they can barely beat the Jags. So who knows what they're gonna do, but that division is just like it's the AFC South. So I mean they're still 2-2-1, aren't they? Isn't that what they are?
Yeah, dude, 2-2 is like the Jaguars are 2-2 and they lead the division.
That's what I'm saying. If the Jags
haven't played Tennessee yet.
Yeah.
Tennessee's going to go out there and win the division with Derrick Henry and Burks on the outside, a rookie.
Yeah. Well, Robert Woods is pretty good, man.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I do forget about Robert
Woods. I mean, offensive, they're not good, though. They can't pass.
No. Well, they couldn't pass before when they had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Enough of that game, Chris. Let's talk about some other football here. Let's get to the adjusted net yards per attempt rankings here.
Yeah, our first quarter of the season is in the books.
Yes.
Four
games. Well, I guess it's a quarter of a season, right? Or like a
I mean, even though they added one more, it's like 3.85 because of that extra game. Now
we're midweek now, so we're at the midpoint of the season because we're midweek.
You're right. We're now we're at four. Now we're at four. We're at that quarter point.
Exactly. All right. So adjusted net yards per attempt. Basically, I should go over the formula again here. I got to pull up for reference. Go over the formula. Basically, it is a stat that I really like. That basically, since the merger, a quarterback has to be top six to win MVP. All right. Top six to win MVP.
Start at eight.
Are you going to start at eight?
Yeah. Just so you can see who's on the edge. Who's on the edge there? Who's creeping in?
All right. So adjusted yards per attempt is passing yards minus sack yards plus 20 times passing touchdowns minus 45 times interceptions divided by pass attempts plus time sack. So you guys can figure that out You're so dumb. All right, here we go. All right.
or just pay attention to when we post it on Twitter.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the formula for you. All right. So number one is Tua Tagovailoa. Tua, he's at 8.32. Oh, I'm starting at 8. My bad. I started at 8.
You started with the top guy.
My bad.
But so Tua doesn't count. He doesn't count. He got knocked out of one game, and he missed the game. He hasn't even played a quarter of the season yet. He doesn't count.
Okay,
and
all right.
You want to talk? Oh, so I got one more thing to say about Tua. You were talking about Russ getting to that back foot and throwing the deep ball. I love watching the film on Tua because he gets to that back foot and chucks up the deep ball, but he cannot time it with these receivers because they are too fast for his arm.
Yeah,
I have never seen more throws where a receiver is 10 yards wide open and then has to stop and wait for the football. And they burn their defender so badly that by the time the ball gets to them, they are still open. They are not contested catches. It's
late.
Incredible. He's late with the throw. He can't get back in his drop fast enough. His arm is not good enough to get that ball out there. He's going to be in trouble later in the season when guys don't blow their coverage and he's trying to throw that ball up in the air. So Tua will not be number one on that list. He is going to fall drastically by the time the end of the season gets here. My prediction. All right, go to 8. I had to get that out. I'm sick. Like, I can't stand the Tua talk. It's driving me insane.
All right. Here we go. Number 8, Lamar Jackson. You got Lamar Jackson. He's at 8, 7.27. Lamar is having a good season, right? I mean, he's about to.
He had a great start to the year.
Yeah, he's having a great start to a year. He got a passer rating of 105.1. You know, YPA of 7.6. You know, he's thrown 11 touchdowns. I mean, he's not throwing the ball that much, of course, because he's, you know, they do a little, you know.
They do a lot of running.
They do the offensive thing. You know, but, I mean, rushing yards he has. Yeah, but he has a lot of rushing yards. Let me pull this up.
He had back to back games of over 100 yards rushing and over 300 yards passing.
He has 316.
Yeah, dude, he's like in the top 10 of rushing yards in the NFL, and he's a quarterback.
Yeah, so I mean, Lamar Jackson, he's playing well. I mean, there's really no way around it.
He will definitely remain in the top 6.
Yeah, I mean, especially because he's got better receivers now. I mean, they kind of struggled at the end of the game against the Bills.
Honestly, I think that was just a complete misread. That was his mistake. He stayed to the right-hand side, and he missed the throw to Duvernay because he broke wide open on the out route immediately. He missed that read. And then on the backside, he missed was it Justice Hill? Mm-hmm. When he motioned out of the backfield, he could have thrown the ball to Justice Hill right away and he would have walked in for the touchdown. So a complete misread by Lamar Jackson. He really should take that loss on his shoulders instead of Harbaugh's getting absolutely crushed for that decision. Marcus Peters freaking out on the sideline. They're about to have some problems in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have been solved with Lamar making the right read. So I think that was the only mistake in Lamar's first 4 games.
Yeah, for real. But it came in a big moment, though.
No, it was a huge moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that defense, guys, they got problems. They keep blowing leads, man.
Big time problems. They were up 17 against the Bills.
See the thing is, though, because I wouldn't watch that game on all 22 both sides. I watched Josh Allen and Lamar. And, like, the Bills basically just sucked for they were fumbling. Josh Allen threw a terrible pick. Then he almost threw another terrible one. And then, you know,
dude,
and
so I would like to point something else out. And I'm sorry to cut you off. That's back to back bad games by Josh Allen.
He didn't have a bad game. It was a bad game in a bad half. I don't even know if he played. He didn't really play bad the week. He just did a bunch of Josh Allen stuff, which I talked about when I did his quarterback review, that he beats himself.
Like, yes, he does.
He doesn't stop. And that's what happened. He came out against the Ravens, too. He just beat himself, overthrowing people. not mm-hmm. having his feet set when he's throwing. Throwing it to
old habits coming back. Old habits coming back.
They creep in, but then he calms down and they start playing. He starts playing within the offense and he starts getting the ball out. And then they come back because the Bills play such good defense. So I'm telling you, that's what happened this game. He's like, yeah, you know, that's just funny with him. So number seven is Geno Smith.
Geno's going off.
Geno had a 77% completion percentage. You know, he's got the nerds. He got the nerds. The nerds love him. He's number one in EPA. He's number one in EPA and EPA per play. He's got the nerds going.
He's been disrespected by defenses in the first four games. Big time.
A lot of single high.
Big time.
You know,
he played his Super Bowl in week one. Won the Super Bowl in week one.
See, the thing is somebody's gonna decide to let's stop Geno, and that's what it's gonna. We'll see how good Geno is there, but maybe if they keep running the ball well, then that might never happen.
Well, no. So there is a formula in the NFL to shutting down the pass and just allowing teams to run. This happened with the Minnesota Vikings with Adrian Peterson. How many 200-yard games did Adrian Peterson have, and they still lost?
Well, yeah, but. I mean,
running the ball kills the clock. And if you're playing against an explosive offense who's putting up points, it doesn't matter how good the running game is. If you can't throw against it and put points on the board, you ain't going to win.
But, I mean, those Vikings teams didn't have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett either, though.
No, they just had Randy Moss and...
Well, they didn't have Randy Moss. What are you talking about? They got Adrian Peterson because they traded Randy Moss. What are you talking about? And they're picking five 3 years later.
The receivers weren't that good. All right. I'll give it to you.
I'm just saying it's not that type of thing. So that's what I'm saying. So I mean, you do have to stop the run first against them because they will run the ball all over you.
Sure. But you stop them for two drives. And you score for two drives, and you're up 14-0.
I mean, like I said, it might never happen, man. He might Jared Goff himself all year. He's got a good coach.
Yeah, he finally gets to run his offense that he wants to run. back to the days when Russ wasn't cooking.
Yeah,
he was just a third round draft pick that they can't believe that they started over the guy that they paid back when that offense was Marshawn Lynch's offense and the Legion of Boom on the other side.
Exactly, that, man.
He gets to run his offense and defense the way that he wants to again.
And I mean, they're 2-2, so I'm not gonna say it's super working, but you know, it's working a little bit.
Hey, Geno's in the top eight.
Right. And you know, it's Pete Carroll versus analytics. So I'm very supportive of these, this game, these wins here that he's piling up here with Russell Wilson and then having an analytical darling. He's an analytical darling quarterback right now. It's look at that. He's like, he's just laughing. He's watching. He's probably watching it with popcorn. Odie's on the treadmill. He's on the treadmill last night. Watching the game.
I guarantee you he's calling and texting Sherman.
Honey, come look at Russ struggle.
And Richard Sherman on that Thursday night broadcast is loving it just as much. He's over there on the sideline in between commercial breaks texting Pete Carroll, and they're laughing hard.
He's just on the treadmill, bro, making jokes. Chewing gum. I can see him just chewing gum on the treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Telling his wife to come watch Russ mess up. Oh, man. He's like, I told him. He told Mark Sanchez. I've been selling to her too. He told Mark Sanchez. He said, Mark, you're not ready. He's like, Mark's like, yeah, I am. He played like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, you weren't. All right, number six. Oh, we got a surprise here, Chris. We got a surprise MVP candidate.
Just get it out of the way.
Take a guess. I want you to take a guess who it is.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, no.
Thank God.
Cooper Rush.
Oh, that's right.
Cooper Rush.
Undefeated Rush.
7.49 adjusted net yards per attempt. Cooper Rush is out here putting up those numbers, Chris. He's playing MVP football. How do you feel about that?
I feel like they disrespect him like they disrespect Geno, and they don't expect him to do anything. And he's a capable guy that's been in the same system for multiple years.
Yeah. I mean, he's only throwing 184 yards per game. I mean, he's basically like a 90s quarterback, basically, like one of those run first football teams. It's just, I mean, 184 yards a game. I mean, it's not like he's a running quarterback. He's not Jalen Hurts. So
right.
184 yards a game is
right.
If we're talking, I mean, he's efficient though. I mean, the efficiency that we're talking about here, even though he still only has a 95 rating with no interceptions and 4 touchdowns.
The dude is doing exactly what he needs to do within that system to keep that team floating. And you want to talk about another defense whose front four is absolutely killing it?
Yo, Michael, they got Michael Parsons. I don't know where he came from. It became.
Dude, he is just – he's killing tackles. He's snatching souls out there.
He is amazing. And DeMarcus Lawrence is no joke either.
No, and on the that's why they can't double – they can't shift the line to one side because Lawrence, he tore apart the rookie last week against the Giants. Just brutalized him. What are you going to do? You can't have a tight end on both sides of the chip. Daniel Jones needs somebody running a pattern.
Yeah. Nothing you can do. All right, man. So Cooper Rush, I can't talk about him much because his numbers are really
– Dude, Jerry Jones is trying to do the best he can to start a quarterback controversy.
Oh, God.
He is all Cooper Rush. And you know what this does, right?
But
they're not bringing anybody else in. He's not getting a new receiver in there by the trade deadline. He's not bringing in an offensive weapon. Cooper Rush can win 4 games with the lineup that he's got.
Yeah.
Dak, when you're back.
Get it done.
Get it done is right. The expectation level for you is through the backup quarterback did it. You got to do it.
I know,
we're
man.
We're not paying him 40 mil. We're paying you 40 mil. Go Dak, do it.
Cooper Rush can at least lose these next 2 games.
He needs that. So badly. He needs that so badly.
He needs a 3 interception performance from Cooper Rush because
Dak is in in trouble. The expectations just keep building. But I got Cooper Rush getting his butt beat this week. That LA defense is gonna be pissed after losing that game last week.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's gonna throw at least 2 interceptions again, but they'll still I think they win by 2 touchdowns.
Oh man. I know that Rams line is really bad.
I know. That's why I say he's going to throw 2 interceptions because he's just going to start chucking it out there when Micah Parsons is in his face.
All right. Jared Goff is 7.50.
Number one scoring offense in the league.
Number one scoring offense in the league. He has 11 touchdowns. He has 7.3 touchdown percentage. Look. He's just throwing touchdowns everywhere. I mean – but he's a Lions quarterback now, so you just lose.
See? Yeah.
We switched teams. Look.
Yeah.
Look, I play bad. I win. Look.
You know, there's only one other time. There's only one other time that a team has led the league in scoring and led the league in points against.
It was the Rams, about 2000, right?
It was the Lions in 2000.
Was it?
So Matthew Stafford knows exactly what is happening. Oh, no, not Matthew Stafford. It was the Lions back in 2000.
I figured it was the Rams because the Rams gave up like 500 points that year. They scored like 573.
Maybe I got the stat wrong. All I know is that I saw it and I could have sworn it was the Lions again.
I don't know. I have no idea how that team. It was funny. You should see some of the scores they had. It was like 51-45 like every game for the Rams that year. Mm-hmm. But they had like Rush Falk and they were just moving. It didn't matter.
Greatest show on turf.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, Jared Goff. He actually, I mean, he's playing well. I mean, like I said, but he had those, you know, the stupid pick at the, mm-hmm. at the end of that first game. But he's playing well overall. And you know, I thought he played well last year. That's why I had him ranked so high. And I think he's living up to that. I think he's in his second year in the offense.
You can see I think you look at all the games that they've played. There's one moment where he's throwing a bad interception in every game.
Or the Vikings game, he had a dude wide open for a touchdown on the final drive for them to win, and he missed him like bad.
Yeah, and he went to the left. Yeah. No, he didn't
miss him the read. He just missed the throw.
Oh, I was thinking a different play. I was thinking the last play. I think that's what I was just thinking.
I mean, that's where I don't know, you know. So they had a chance to win that game, and they let Kirk Cousins.
They had a chance to win every single game that they've played. They realistically had a chance to be undefeated right now.
I know, man. It's crazy. They're 1-3. But Goff's playing well, 7.50. All right. So number four, Justin Herbert. He's at 7.76. J. Herbie. Mr. Herbert.
How's his ribs?
I don't know. I mean, they almost lost to Texas last week.
There's something about didn't the Texans beat them last year too?
Yeah.
I think there's just something about that matchup that Houston just has their number.
You know, Justin Herbert, you know, with the lead, he blows a lot of leads. You know, I mean, he did that his rookie year. Remember his rookie year? That's all he did was blow leads. They're like, mm-hmm. they're up 20-0. Everybody was like, I guess the Saints, like, oh my gosh, it's Justin Herbert's here. And they lost that game. And then, He let Drew Lock do a 24-3 comeback, which mm-hmm. yeah, Drew Lock dancing. So I mean, that happens to Herbert a lot, but you know, Herbert's gonna be a numbers guy. He's gonna be the stat darling for his whole career. Yeah.
Because he's gonna lead the league in attempts every single year.
Yeah, he's gonna lead 100%. Plus, I mean, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions based on his attempts.
So yeah, that's what happens when you're check down Charlie.
Yeah, that too. Nobody must admit that. But anyways,
what's his yards per attempt?
Oh, it's 7.5. You know, he's
oh, he's, okay, he's, all right. We got a legit. I mean,
I think he, because he does this, he'll have like, it'll be like 9, and it'll be like 5, like 6.5, 6.5, then 9, 6.5, 6.5, 6.5, 9. So then he keeps it at 7.5. That's what he likes to do.
I got you.
He gets 9 in there sometimes.
Okay.
But I just don't get how the Chargers are built around him. Like, it's just weird. So you're in the West Coast offense, you have no yak monsters for him. He's really accurate, short. Like, he's going to hit all those passes short. You guys have no yak monsters? Like Jimmy Garoppolo and Deebo Samuel.
Dude, they're all in Philadelphia.
Why did they trade for AJ Brown? I'm happy they did it. But
yeah,
he's a yak monster.
Yeah, Devonta Smith, yak monster. Who knew that Dallas Goedert was going to be a yak monster?
The yak monsters everywhere are over there. But he has none on a short passing offense.
Catch the ball, fall down.
It's so weird. Like, what are they doing? Like, the Chargers are.
That's just, Austin Eckler is their yak monster, and he starts behind the line of scrimmage with his catches.
Like, what are they doing over there? I don't know what they're building. They got this big quarterback with a big arm, and he throws. He can handle a lot of volume, and you have been a short passing offense with guys who get tackled right away. Like, Mike Williams ain't breaking a tackle. Like,
his line is so jacked up, they got to stick with that short passing game too.
No, he has not one yak guy. So I'm saying he probably watches Jimmy Garoppolo's upset. Jimmy Garoppolo would throw a bad screen, Debo would catch it over to two guys, take it 40. Right now, you takes a 2 yard pass, breaks 3 tackles, makes it 15. Yeah, because Kyle's smart. He's like, okay, my offense is built on yak. I'm gonna get a bunch of yak monsters. It's just mm-hmm. pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go slant to George Kittle. He can break 3 tackles. And he can, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a short passing offense, he throws it to Mike Williams. And he gets tackled.
That's what the Packers are turning into, dude.
Yak monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in the West Coast, man, if you're on the West Coast, you have to have Yachtmasters because, I mean, there is a lot of short passing.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
Timing, short passing, get the ball in the speed, let them go, let them fly.
Yak monsters. But except Justin Herbert, he doesn't have it. No. I just don't know what they're doing over there with him. Like, you guys are just – you gave him a bad offensive coordinator. And you know, I'm a Raiders fan, so I really don't feel that bad. But I feel kind of bad. You know, I'm laughing, but I also have a little remorse behind the laugh. That's all. I just like, man, it sucks for over it. That's hilarious. Joe Lombardi with no yak monsters, man. You got nothing. I mean, even Drew Brees in the same offense. Yeah, the other guys get yak, you know. They're getting some yards under the catch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Lance Moore? Had Lance Moore, those little shifty dudes. Nope.
Kenny Stills, right? Wasn't Kenny Stills over there with them?
Yeah, Kenny Stills, all those guys. He had a little bunch of them. Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, oh yeah, Brandon Cooks. Love the yak with Brandon Cooks.
Justin Herbert, just man, Josh Palmer, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is nothing. Not even a tight end that gets yak. He doesn't even have a tight end that gets yak. He doesn't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. He just has Austin Eckler.
Eckler, that's it.
Thank you, Brandon Staley, for building that terrible team. Not a terrible team. They got good talent. It's just like, thank you for hiring Joe Lombardi. All right, number three is the guy who I think is going to win MVP at the end of the year because it's just because he's here already. It's Patrick Mahomes. He's number three. So I feel like that he's going to be the MVP front runner.
Dude, he is absolutely killing it in that offense.
Yeah, and, you know,
he's absolutely killing it.
He's playing a totally different way than he used to play. You know, he's playing a lot of short passing. They're not throwing as deep as much. He's not trying to force the ball. He's just playing within the offense and making plays when he needs to make plays. And, you know, he has been really, as I was saying, he hasn't done, like, the spin around circle highlight yet. I mean, he does it.
What
he's done
it, like, about? Oh, you're talking about the deep ball.
Yeah, we haven't seen the spin throw it 50 yards yet. We've seen a couple spin magicals in a flip, but we haven't seen, you know, those were like Brett Favre's type of stuff.
You know,
he's on a maybe that's a Andy Reid's kind of thought process is making him more like the Brett Favre type of, you know, Mike Holmgren, West Coast type of guy.
Well, Andy was there. Andy was right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, because I mean, they have no other.
I keep forgetting that. I keep forgetting that Andy Reid was there in Green Bay while Brett Favre was in the prime of it, and Andy was involved and in that mix. And I mean, we've been using the Brett Favre comparison for Patrick Mahomes since he was in college. Mm-hmm. So, talk about a perfect fit.
Yeah, no, man. I still was so mad when they traded up, and I was like, "Why? Why did you do that? I can't believe." I couldn't believe it, man. That night, I just could not believe that Andy. I was so mad at Bruce Arians. Bruce, you were at 12. You're gonna take him. I know you were. And you thought he was gonna fall to you. And the team from 28, they had no business. They're 28. They're in the divisional playoff. They're like, oh, he's at 10. Boom, right in front of you, Bruce. I should all the fans here in Arizona should be happy. I should be cool watching from the AFC West. Just, oh man, look how good he is. Mm. No. God damn it. And then I'm still mad. I couldn't believe it that day, bro. And then he gets up for the Raiders too. Like, he plays the Raiders this week, right? The Raiders play the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we should get to our game previews pretty soon here. I got one more guy.
Yeah, but, one more guy.
He did a post-game speech, okay? And during his post-game speech, he says, you guys better get ready because you know who we got coming here next week. And I was thinking, Patrick, we're 1-3, man. Come on, bro.
You're going to be 1-4. You're going to be 1-4. I didn't even want to touch that bet. But I might have to.
He said, you know who we got coming next week. Bro, we're like, come on, man. We're not the Bills. Like, what is he talking about? I was like, man, you need to relax, bro. You need to relax. This is not a rivalry. Come on, man. We beat you like once in like 10 tries.
Yeah, but then you went and danced on their logo.
I danced on the logo. And then the other time, we circled the wagons when we beat them in Arrowhead. with the van. That crazy circle of the wagons.
Bro, they're gonna beat you up every single time. Every single time.
They haven't let it go. They haven't let it
go. They shouldn't.
He said, you know who we got coming this week. I was like, when I watched that clip, I was like, bro, come on, man. This is not a rivalry, bro. Like, your rivals are the Bills. Say that over the Bills. Like, save that for Buffalo. I know you play them at some point this year.
Dude, you're the only team in the division that can give them any type of trouble.
I think so, but
they're not afraid of the Chargers, and they're sure not afraid of Russ.
Yeah.
You're the only team that could cause them any type of trouble. Sorry, bud.
I just don't like that speech from him. Like, relax.
you are in trouble.
Well, this is not a rivalry. It's not a rivalry. I know there's some history behind it, but with you here, it hasn't been a rivalry, so there's no reason for you to get up for it. Like, there's no reason for you to be like, it's Raiders week. Like, there's no...
Shouldn't have danced on their logo, man. I would never let that go.
The guy's not here anymore. The guy who planned that, he's gone, though.
It doesn't matter. The whole team was there. Doesn't matter. They did it.
Trayvon Mullen's gone.
You better move on to number two, because Patrick Mahomes hasn't moved on. So you better move on.
Okay. And number two, who is Chris's number one, because Tua doesn't count.
Yep.
Is Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts as 8.11. He's over 8 right now, Chris, after 4 games.
So what's his yards per attempt?
His yards per attempt is 9.1.
Oh, that's because of the game against the Commanders.
Yeah, and the Yak.
That's the only game that he threw deep. Everything else. You want to talk about a guy who's in a perfect situation. They're running that offense at a very elite level. Because he does that. He does not throw the ball down the field. He does not. Everything's under 10 yards.
Well, he doesn't have the biggest arm, so he really can't. But like that's what, this is all about Sirianni. Okay, let's talk about how great Sirianni is.
Absolutely.
Right? He's built an offense around Jalen Hurts that has allowed him to thrive, and that's basically what he did. He embraced Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's good on him. Yeah, obviously he liked something about Jalen, right? And he built an offense around it. Like, but you know, I mean, they play defense though too. Right, so they run the ball, which they really do. That's what they do.
They lead the league, and I think they're one of the league leaders in rush attempts.
Yeah, of course, because Miles Sanders, he decides.
I think he's in the top 5 for rushing yards this season.
Yeah, for the first time, when I don't have him in fantasy, he decides to be good.
Yeah, he told everybody not to draft him this year.
Yeah, don't draft me. Right. Well, yeah. 2 years. I mean, you've been disappointed. I've been drafted. Like, this is gonna be Miles Sanders. This is gonna be a year. He had a good. He gets, you know. Here he comes. Was average 300. He has 356 yards rushing, but Hurts has 205. You know.
Oh yeah. All those design runs, and then the broken. Like when they actually decide to throw the ball, like 10 yards or 15 yards down the field, he's not capable of it, and he just leaves the pocket and runs on those.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, wait, you want me to do what? You want me to throw the ball where? Across the middle of the field, 15-yard dig? Nah, dude, I'm going to hold the ball. If I can't see that he's open, I'm not throwing it. I'm just going to run.
I'm just going to run. He's the best offensive line in the league, so, I mean, that's why I like. How are you still taking – he's still taking sacks, but, I mean, his YPA is really high. They're running the ball really well. He's running that offense, second year in the offense. Sirianni is obviously a mad genius. So
agreed.
He's obviously a mad genius. So agreed. That's the real part of this is that Sirianni. We all laughed at his press conference. He couldn't talk. He can't talk, but he can scheme because he, you know, he even had Frank Reich. I mean, maybe he's probably a little Frank Reich's little missing guy. You know, maybe. He's Frank Reich's little missing dude because. I don't know, Frank. You look a little funny in the light when Sirianni left. You look a little funny. Oh, man. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts. I wonder. I'm saying they got a great team, so he might keep this up. That's the thing.
I kind of agree with you. I think they're gonna really beat up. I think they're really going to beat up on the Cardinals this week.
Yeah, man, they're good. The NFC is not that strong. There's not really that lot of great teams in the NFC right now. There's no great. There's not a lot of great teams in football.
No, there's not a lot of great teams in football.
So they're just gonna wipe. They're gonna wipe through a lot of teams. And,
you got the Chiefs and the Bills who look like the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And well, after that, you got streaky teams right now. Eagles are streaking.
See, the thing is though, you know, when we get to the playoffs, I mean, he's gonna have to ball. He's got to outplay Aaron Rodgers. And that's where it's getting, because they're gonna have number one seed too. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers going to Philly, and it's not gonna. It'll be cold.
All right, calm down. Hold on. Calm down. Don't crown the Eagles number one seed yet. Okay.
Oh, come on, bro.
This is the first quarter of the season. You know that real football is not being played until we get into November and December.
I understand that, and they got real football this past week against the Jags. So the Jags came out and were up 14-0. Jags were prepared for them. They're ready to stop them 14-0, but they adjusted and they beat them 29-21. So that showed me a lot. That showed me that they're a really good football team. So,
and who they play?
The Jags. Come on, the Jags. They just whopped the Chargers. The Jags aren't bad, Chris.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying they're bad by any means. But what they do last year, this is a year where the Jaguars take a step. But they are not the cream of the crop in the NFL yet.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why I know the Eagles are a good team. Because you're down 14-0 to a young team that's not ready or not ready for, you know, prime time yet.
What are you making my argument for me right now? You're down 14 to a young team that's not ready to be it. So you better, Chris, come back and beat those type of teams.
Exactly, and they did, and they did it. And they, that's my point. And they what was it, 29-7 after that? So I'm just saying, Chris. I mean. That's what I'm talking about. They are going to be a really good team. They're going to be 13-4.
They're going to be good. They're going to be good.
They probably might have the number one seed.
They're in a bad division, so that helps.
Exactly. Right. They've got to play the Commanders again. They still got to play the Giants twice.
They got to get through their division twice. You're right. But just pump the brakes. They got some good teams on their schedule that they're going to have to play against. There's a lot of time to figure out who's going to be the one seed. I'm not crowning anybody right now. I'm not gonna let you do it either.
I'm not crowning him. I'm crowning the Eagles. They play really good defense. They got a great defense. So you they run the football, they got great defense. That's regular season wins to me. I'm not disagreeing with you.
But regular season,
they got a great formula.
We're not gonna talk about no one seed after four games. It's not happening.
Whatever, man. Your Packers are gonna find a way to go 13-4. They're not even gonna be good.
That's right. That's right. That win against Tampa, I had them at 12-5 with a loss at Tampa. As soon as they beat Tampa, I moved them to 13-4. I did.
Because the NFC is so weak. So you just, hey, whatever. I don't want to hear it.
Another 13 win season, baby. 3 in a row.
Oh man, I swear Rodgers wins MVP again, man. Just by default.
They are the second most explosive team in the league.
I know that's what I'm saying. Because we get to this match after, but last game, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers finally was like, fine, I'll throw to you guys. And then it started working. He's like, fine. He started throwing. Dobbs dropped a couple still.
Dude, he dropped the touchdown to win it in regulation. Like, he hit the ground with the ball in his hands and it moved around. It's there was no reason for that game to go to overtime last week.
He's got
to
keep
zero. Throwing it though, man. He's going to. You better guess what? Guess what? That kid's still available in like all the fantasy leagues. You better pick him up.
Oh man, that's basically what happened that game. Is like he's like, you know what? You went on the first half. All right, fine. All right, Christian, you throw me up. I'm gonna keep throwing to you. Catch the ball, please. Man,
and that defense is so good that even after like those big drops, that offense is still going to get the ball again. Those kids are going to get chances.
You get a lot of reps with him, man.
Quay Walker looks legit. The man flies around the field. And he's so big.
I need some linebackers, man.
Bro, he is so good. I'm so excited about the future of this defense.
All right. What else we got here?
Let's we got a pre. We got to preview a few games while we wrap this up.
Yeah, we wrap this up, right? All right. You know, you got Giants, Packers.
I don't like, what is it, 8.5, 9? I don't like the number.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. I just, like, Saquon is running the ball really well. I think that the Packers will be able to contain the run, but he's just so explosive. He has the chance of going off and causing problems. Kadarius Toney didn't even fly out there. Kenny Golladay didn't even fly out there. So they're missing. There's no, what's his name? Lost for the season with a knee injury. Like they're in trouble at the wide receiver position. Daniels injured. I don't like a 2-score win.
Okay.
To put money on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see the Packers winning by 10.
Okay.
I would love to see this Packer team blow them out, but I don't think they're in sync yet to do that.
Yeah, and I think the Giants are playing better defense to getting credit for.
Yeah, yep, I agree with you.
They got some good defensive players over there still, and yeah, I think they can. They will give you guys a game, but I think
it'll be a game. It is the first game in London where both teams are over 500. First time ever.
It is strong though. It's strong. That it's very, very strong. But I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna take. I might take that minus eight. I feel like I just.
You I don't think Daniel Jones is minus eight.
Yeah, I just don't think it's gonna be on national TV, which means Daniel Jones is gonna be terrible because that's the only time he's everybody's watching. He's one of those guys.
I don't know. It's early. You're not gonna get up and watch that game out there on the West Coast.
The whole East Coast is up. You know, the whole East Coast is up watching that game.
You're right.
All of New York, New Jersey, Philly, they're all up, bro. They're multiple. Everybody's up watching that game. They're gonna be
right. You're right.
Cooking breakfast before the tailgate, watching that game. So I'm going to say Daniel Jones is going to play terrible. So I'm going to take that minus eight just because that's what Daniel Jones does.
I want to take it, but I just can't. Like they should have stomped all over the Patriots. There were too many mistakes, and they were at home. This makes me nervous. It's the first time they're going to London. Yeah, we did get Belichick.
He's the ultimate preparer. It doesn't matter how bad that
you're right. team is. You're right.
They are going to be ready with a strategy to stop you. And it's going to be, you know, unique. You know, it's not going to be anything they did it before. You know,
dang it, Marcus, you talked me into it. All right, Packers minus eight.
Because you beat them, you know what I'm saying? So you just got Belichick for a little bit. Belichick, he's picking you off and stuff. He's confusing you. Mm-hmm. Bill's still a genius, bro. I hate how people hate on Bill. Like he's like, yeah, he doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. He's still a genius. Like
he's got two guys that have no business running at all.
He stopped the K gun and he won with Jeff Hosteller. You know, he stopped the K gun against the Bills. Nobody could stop the K gun at that point. He was like, okay, and stopped him. He's still a genius. Mm-hmm. You can't take that away. He did that without Tom. So I don't know if people say that. All right. Other games we got here. Chiefs, Raiders. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to. So go ahead. What do you think?
You're going to get stomped. Patrick's interview said it all.
I don't know if you're going to get stomped.
You don't know. You are not in sync offensively. You are not using your weapons the way that you should.
They are now. They are. I think this last game they got a little really in sync.
Your pass rush is not there.
I think I'm taking the Raiders +7 on this one. Taking the Raiders +7. I'm gonna take the Raiders +7. I am. I'm gonna do it. I have a good feeling. I don't know if they're gonna win. I know they're gonna be desperate.
But they're gonna cover.
They're gonna be desperate. They're gonna frustrate Raiders fans, basically.
Oh well, I for your sake, I hope so. Because 1-4 is not gonna be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I had them 2-3 to start the year. So, you know.
Oh, okay. So it's not that far off.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't have him with this path, but you know, hey, you know, you got to take what you can get. All right, we got a good Sunday night game this week though. We got Joe Burrow versus Lamar. Joe Burrow, the Ravens killer.
Dude, he threw for over 1,000 yards in the two games last season against the Ravens. He's
not playing Wink Martindale in the cover zero anymore.
Yeah, but that secondary is getting absolutely torched.
Yeah, but against Joe Burrow, really, all you gotta do is play cover two. I mean, you play cover two against Joe until he could beat it. He got a break last week against the Dolphins, and I think he got a break.
Yeah, he got that cover zero.
He got two breaks
with Miami. Yeah,
he got Robert Saleh playing Pete Carroll cover three, and then he got Miami playing cover zero, who do played a little bit of cover two, but you know they got a philosophy. You just can't. The philosophy's there, so he got a mental break. The last couple of weeks, and I think he's back. Ravens are playing a lot too hot. They're not doing the Dink Week Martindale stuff.
They're really good in the first half. I'll tell you what, they play phenomenal football in the first half of the game.
I think
I would take whatever the spread is for the Ravens in the first half.
I still think the Bengals defenses are still underrated. I just think they got some really good players over there still.
Lamar's playing too good.
Yeah, you think so?
The Ravens will cover whatever that first half number is.
Don't sleep on Lou. I can't think of his last name, so I'm sleeping on him. The defense coordinator for I think I didn't know his name, but that dude's really good. He doesn't get a lot of praise, man. He's awesome. And
they blow leads in the second half, and Joe Burrow, if they adjust nicely at halftime, I think you see a nice close game. What is it? Ravens minus three.
Yeah, I'm going Bengals money line on this one. I feel confident about the Bengals.
Wow, it's in Baltimore, right?
Yeah,
I'm taking the Ravens. I'm taking the Ravens and the points.
The Dolphins game was in Baltimore. It doesn't matter. Should be a better reason.
Baltimore game, and the Bills game, both in Baltimore.
Yeah, man, it don't matter.
I got faith. I think they hold them off. I think it is like a win by three scenario. I hope it's a win like by four. Like they get a touchdown late to go up 4 points, and they're able to hold it. Like maybe it's like a game winning drive.
Okay.
But I think they cover. I think they cover at home this week.
All right. Chargers Browns.
I can't believe that's a game that we're going to preview.
I know.
Where is it? Is it in Cleveland?
In Cleveland.
I'm taking the Browns. I don't care. I think, what is it, minus 4.5?
No, it's minus 2.5, Chargers.
Minus 2.5. Oh.
Yeah.
So the Browns are plus points.
Basically, yeah.
At home.
Uh-huh.
Myles Garrett's back.
Yeah.
Against that O-line that is destroyed.
I'm going Browns because the Chargers can't stop the run still. And Damian Pierce, who's my boy, running back one for the brand. I appreciate you, Damian, for the brand, because you're a superstar. You skyrocket. I'm gonna have that tape don't lie episode on repeat. Me saying he's the best running back in the draft. Take me to the top, bro. You are wrong.
Nick Chubb's gonna run wild. Myles Garrett is going to tee off on that injured offensive line. Take the Browns. They're getting points at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Herbert might go out with clutching those ribs.
No. They're going to lose.
Is Clowney playing too?
No, they're going to lose 31-28, and Herbert's going to have 4 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
Why you got to put that evil out into the world like that?
350 yards.
Why do you gotta put the evil out like that, dude?
They're gonna lose.
What are you doing?
I still feel like Justin Herbert might be he's gonna be the first quarterback to win MVP and not make the playoffs. Because people like him so
much. Oh my god. End it now. Call it quits. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't believe you just put that evil out there like that.
Oh man, it's gonna happen though. You know,
hit him with the socials.
31. I've called. That's the score. 31-28. 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions for Justin Herbert. He's gonna have all 4 touchdowns.
Hit him with the socials. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
All right, guys. Follow us on Twitter ALPA_QB1, Instagram ALPA_QB1, A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL, at King Manelos. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, subscribe on iTunes and download on Spotify. And then let us know if our bets are working out for you guys, giving you some bet tips. You know what I'm saying? So let us know if those are working out. And yeah, and I'm telling you guys, take that 3+ touchdowns, Justin Herbert.
No, oh my God. End it. End the podcast. I don't want to talk to you.
We're out of here.